Sunny and warm today, a high of 80. Tonight, partly cloudy and mild, a low of 53. The rain moves in on Wednesday. 70% chance of rain showers, maybe a thunderstorm. Tomorrow's high 73 inland, cooler near Lake Michigan. Right now, though, a gorgeous day. Wind from the west-southwest at 11. 66 degrees in both Racine and Kenosha. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. 8:10, the morning show with Greg Berg is next. And
support for the morning show comes from UW Parkside. Build a career as a licensed professional counselor and mental health and wellness advocate with the new Master's in Mental Health and Counseling from Parkside. Visit uwp.edu. Support for WGTD's morning show also comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. And we welcome you to the morning show on WGTD. And it's my great pleasure to once again welcome into our studios the president of Gateway Technical College, Brian Albrecht. And we are excited to be able to talk on the eve of Gateway's big spring graduation, which is one of the most exciting occasions on the whole calendar. And we're especially pleased that we can have the special guest speaker for this year's graduation, Mike Reeder, whom we will more properly introduce in just a moment. First, President Brian Albrecht, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning, Greg. It's always a pleasure to be here.
Good to have you here.
Thank you.
I know that it has been an exciting month since you were last with us, including a trip to Tokyo, Japan. What took you to Tokyo?
Well, first, I can't even believe it's the month of May already. Yeah, it seems right. Like I was just here and, you know, and it was snowing out. So hopefully we're through all of that into the spring season here. But so, you know, we're so proud of the work that we do in helping support not only the great employers in our region for many, many years, but of course, new and emerging occupations and new and emerging opportunities. Foxconn has brought forward some unique programming requirements that Gateway's gearing up for. So we've partnered with a robotics company called Fanuc Robotics, and we've had a chance to visit their facilities here in the USA, and most recently had a chance to travel to Tokyo, Japan, which is where their world headquarters is, to take a look at artificial intelligence, augmented reality, and kind of the future of how robotics will impact advanced manufacturing. Gateway's made a major commitment. We have 16 new robots that will be installed at our IMET Center. We'll be expanding our robotics training over at RPM Center in Elkhorn as well. Our Lakeview Center is getting some new robots. So we are all in, if you might say, in trying to help better understand the impact that robotics and automation will have as we develop new courses and new curriculum and ultimately new degrees to support programs like Foxconn.
Hmm. I know that speaking of new, there is a new program called the Kids Lab that is an outreach of sorts for Gateway to elementary students. Say a word about what Kids Lab is all about.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this. I mean, you know, we have a great Fab Lab, and I think we've talked about it on the show before,
yeah,
where we can do 3D printing, and you can take ideas off of CAD systems and have products actually produced on there. And the Fab Labs are nationwide. They're all over the country. The original one started with MIT, and Gateway partners with many of those, including hosting the U.S. Fab Lab conference here on our campus. So about 3 months ago, we were brainstorming with a group of folks and said, what could we do at an earlier age? Typically, Fab Labs are high school. The governor supported some funding for high schools to build out Fab Labs. But we know that in order to build a talent pipeline, we've got to start a lot earlier than that. So Kids Lab was developed in partnership with First Technologies out of Maguanago, and we're developing a teacher training program for grades 2 through 6, so second grade teachers all the way through sixth grade teachers, to help expose teachers to the idea of advanced manufacturing and 3D printing and electronic circuitry, and how can we embed that into a very early experience when students are engaged in all kinds of authentic learning models, especially around the idea of play. So a Kids Lab concept is we'll provide teacher training on basic curriculum in math and science, and then we will invest and put a mini fab lab, so a 3D printer, some electronic circuit boards, into those classrooms so that teachers have access to technology, and when they're teaching about math concepts, they can actually have a circuitry that students can put together and see some of their theoretical questions, if you will, answered in real life. So Kids Lab, I think, is going to be a big success. We've got lots of schools and teachers that are already interested. In June, we'll have our first teacher training program, and I suspect we'll have a program down the road, Greg, that's dedicated just to this concept.
Wow, that's exciting to think about.
It is.
Speaking of exciting, I know that you also wanted to give an update on the participation rate for this thing called the Gateway Promise that is so exciting.
Yeah, this is going to be, I think, one of the cornerstones for our college and our community for many, many generations. So 2 years ago, we launched our private sector contribution campaign called the College Promise, which would allow an affordability path for any student in the three counties that we represent, Racine, Kenosha, or Walworth County. So if they can't afford to go to college, then we will work with them to build out a pathway of affordability, including using their federal financial aid. They've got to commit to service and giving back to the community and, of course, be eligible for federal financial aid and have good grades in high school while they're there. But if they do all of that, then through our college foundation, we will help subsidize the additional costs that it might take in order to achieve a college degree. In the first year that we launched it, we had 160 students participate in that program, and now this year we're adding another 180 students to the mix. So we know that this is important because there are so many families that are taking advantage of it, and we're just beginning to see sort of the momentum of this big wave of having more young people choose Gateway directly out of high school. And in many cases, those students have shared with me that they would have never even had the opportunity to think about college beyond high school. And as we just talked about robotics and all the new technologies, we know that our citizens must be highly educated to compete. So the College Promise program is building a solid foundation for the future for the Tri-County area.
Fantastic. That's why Gateway is here.
Thank you. Yes.
The reason Mike Reeder is with us, although over the telephone, not in person, is because he is going to be the guest speaker for the upcoming graduation ceremony for Gateway. He is the CEO of Precision Plus. Before we bring him aboard, President Albrecht, maybe you want to say a word about the kind of friend that he has been to Gateway.
Oh, my gosh. Mike has not only been a friend to Gateway, but to me personally, to so many of us in Southeast Wisconsin. He's a champion, a leader in developing the important role that education plays in the lives of young people and adults. He demonstrates that through action. So everything that I talked about, College Promise, he was one of our first partners in developing that. The expansion of automation and manufacturing, it was Mike and his commitment that we have the RPM Center, and we call it the Reeder Precision Machining Center on the Elkhorn campus. And if I could reflect a little bit on early learning, there's no greater champion. Mike has spoken to school groups. He's involved in advisory committees. He serves on boards of trustees. He's just really active and engaged in helping all of us understand the value of how education can build a pathway of hope and opportunity for individual families. So to have Mike as our commencement speaker, that is the highlight of my year. I know his message is going to be compelling, and just to have him be introduced to our community in a grander way this way is certainly deserving.
Wow. Well, what do you have to say to that, Mike Reeder?
Well, I guess it's a wrap. We can close up today, then.
Oh, no, I want to hear what you're actually going to tell our students.
So first of all, we welcome you to the morning show, and are really happy that you have been given this opportunity, and it's a terrific and well-deserved opportunity for you to speak about your own work and of course, the partnership of Precision Plus with Gateway. Tell us from your perspective about that partnership, what it has represented for you personally and for your fine company.
Well, it's been a journey, and I was one of the folks early on that was complaining about the lack of services in the Elkhorn campus, and Brian listened, and ultimately it came down to what are you prepared to do to make a difference in the community, and with that it forced me to reflect and dig deep on really what we could do here at Precision Plus and my family to make some of these things happen. You know, it's one thing to sit on the sidelines and complain about the results or the lack of results. It's another thing to get involved and be part of the solution. So Brian challenged me on that front, and I'll tell you, it's been tremendously rewarding to see some of the students come through. We've had a lot of them through the building, not only on tours, but on youth apprenticeship programs during the school year, as well as summer interns. And they're just some wonderful young adults out there that are just looking for the right opportunity. And without the chance to explore different career paths, they really don't know, you know, what's out there other than what they hear from their parents, fellow students, and their career counselors in high school.
You know, Mike, I couldn't agree more. You know, you think about everybody has an opinion about education and school, and most of the time it's based on what their experience has been, and it's changed a lot. The circumstances of the classroom are different. The types of knowledge and skills that students and teachers are all supposed to be able to obtain, it takes a different level of commitment by the community to support that, the diversity that it's brought to our schools, and then some of the outside challenges. You know, school safety is a huge challenge, budgeting and finance is a huge challenge, and how do we collectively come together to find solutions? And you have been an advocate for helping us bring the right people to the table to find solutions, and I just wanted to acknowledge the fact that you are not standing on the sidelines, that you're in the middle of the field helping direct traffic and build new plays for us, so thank you.
Mike,
well,
Reed,
it took some time to get there for me, and I'm sorry that it took that much time, but really, it comes down to, you know, this isn't an education problem. This isn't a business problem. This is a society problem and a community issue that we've got to overcome together. And without the strong partnerships between the education and the business community, you know, it's really going to be difficult to be successful. So that's why I'm so excited about some of the things that we're doing with Gateway, and we're trying to get more people involved in.
And, of course, Mike Reeder, you are not only a very active partner with Gateway, but you have worked with high school students, other colleges and universities. I believe you are serving or have served as a trustee for the Milwaukee School of Engineering. So clearly service is something that is really important to you. Has it always been that? I mean, from the moment earliest breath, has this been a part of who you are? Or otherwise, what do you point to as kind of an inspiration for why service is so important to you?
Well, Greg, great question, and I wish I could say that this has been a passion of mine since early on, but it wasn't until 2012 that I was watching a 60 Minutes episode airing about the skills gap, and they've had a number of business community leaders talking about the challenges, and then they brought a gentleman on from the Wharton School of Business in Pennsylvania who called out the business community as lacking in the participation in the education of their own workforce, and that all of the apprenticeship programs had gone away many years ago, and now the business community expected the education community to train their workforce for them. So my first response was anger, and that, you know, wait a second. If education, what is education for if not to prepare students for a career path? But then I looked in the mirror and said, well, can we do more? Can we do more? And that was really a defining moment for me that said, you know what, we can't sit here and wait for the education community to deliver fully trained workers to us. We need to be involved in the process, and it needs to be a true partnership. And so that was really the call to action that got me involved.
It's an impressive legacy that you can already point to. President Albrecht, I can't even imagine, although you've said it very eloquently, what somebody like a Mike Reeder means to a place like Gateway, and of course he's not the only important partner, but there are many others who are such an integral part of what happens here. What kind of characteristics do you look at when you seek out corporate partners like Precision Plus and their CEO Mike Reeder?
Yeah, well, you know, Mike, his last term really struck me, a call to action. So I look for organizations that really have a very strong backbone in the area of integrity. So with the products they produce make a difference in the lives that we live. The service that they provide is a way to help develop an entire community, and their investment in their people, the pride of their employees, the care that they take for those that are delivering those services. So yes, in a bottom line, you have to make money. But going through that process of making money, how do you treat people? What is the type of commitment that you've made to building a stronger community as a result? And so that integrity, that call to action is really important. I also look for organizations that create an inspiration so that there's an opportunity there for people to really find their self and their pathway and not just perform a job, but be involved in the community in some way. And as Mike's example, you know, they have a lot of young people go through. It's his employees that lead those tours and do the inspiration, and he's encouraging his employees to participate in other organizations around the community. So they have to, in my mind, help us inspire young people in order to be able to have folks say, I want to work for an organization like Precision Plus. And then my last anchor on that would be they've got to be willing to commit, and Mike has done that. They've got to be willing to say, I can be part of the solution. You don't have to be all the solution, but I have a lot of people that can join me with this effort, and let's figure out a way to make it better for our community. And so if we can focus on, you know, that focus on integrity, inspiration, and commitment, boy, that seems to be a recipe for great success, because that's what we're trying to instill in our students, right? We want them to be proud of what they're doing, to be honest and open, and learn new skills. We want them to inspire and think beyond their current status in life and try to achieve more. And we want them to be committed to continue to learn and to be a part of that success of their employer.
Mike Reeder, in earlier in his remarks, touched on the matter of the kind of workforce that we need in 2018. And, of course, this is at the forefront of our thinking right now with the emergence of Foxconn and what is already being anticipated as a skilled worker shortage that is only going to grow more acute over the coming years. So what do these partnerships have to do with trying to address that really serious issue?
Well, they're essential. I mean, we all understand that there's a skilled worker shortage, and I'm always reminded that, you know, we just need to go out and find new workers. But the reality of it is, in the human race, all of the workers for the next 20 years are already born, right? So they're either in preschool, first grade, or sixth grade. Somewhere along the pipeline, we know how many people there are. How do we attract them to careers in STEM-related fields, science, technology, engineering, and math? How do we establish partnerships to give real-world demonstrations for our teachers so that they, too, can be inspired and passionate about what they deliver? And how can we help young people see themselves in their future doing one of these great jobs that are going to support the companies? And it's not just because of Foxconn. Just recently, in the last couple of days, Badger Meter has partnered stronger with us, 3M, Kubota, Ashley Furniture, Walter Power, Precision Plus. You could go down the list of all the great companies that are looking to colleges like Gateway, community and technical colleges, to engage deeper into the community so we can assess what resources are available, i.e. talent, and how do we educate talent to be able to be competitive in advanced manufacturing careers, advanced healthcare, science-related programs, information technology, all the things that are driving the new environment and the new opportunities for jobs.
Mike Reeder, I want to ask you how you've experienced this worker shortage, but ahead of that, I'm not sure we've made perfectly clear to people just what Precision Plus does. Say a word about what your company does.
Sure, Greg. Precision Plus is a contract manufacturer of small turned metal parts that could go into aerospace, medical, dental, industrial controls like hydraulic and pneumatic systems, as well as musical instruments, at least the components that go into musical instruments. So we have about 80 manufacturing professionals in our building here in the Elkhorn area. We are constantly seeking candidates that have technical skills or at least passion. If they got passion and aptitude, we can teach the skills. But it has been a very difficult road because I think for generations we've told our kids to go to university, get a degree, any degree, regardless of cost, and you are guaranteed success. And so I think there's a whole lot of young adults out there that know that to be incorrect. And so, you know, we're trying to get the message back out into the middle schools and the high schools primarily that, you know, a four-year degree does not guarantee success. You've got to find something you're passionate about, link that with a career opportunity, explore that career, and then find out what education path is going to be most appropriate to make the most of that career. And so we've sent many kids to university, but without a without a guiding principle of what they're going to do with that. Hmm.
So as an employer, how hard has it been for you to find skilled employees? I mean, what kind of firsthand experience have you had with this skilled worker shortage?
Well, it's difficult when you've got to turn a customer down for, you know, a new program because you don't have enough people. You know, it's easy to build the buildings of brick and mortar. It's relatively easy to buy equipment. But if you don't have the skilled folks in the building to operate it the way it needs to be, you really can't have a successful business. And so, you know, we have struggled over the years to find talent. And so we have focused more on the development of talent. And that means starting at the middle schools, sometimes even younger, to get them thinking about STEM education and the careers that come with it. Right now, you know, we've got openings in advanced manufacturing positions that pay, you know, $70,000-$80,000 a year. Yet, I see very few applications, and those that I do see oftentimes don't have anywhere near the credentials that they should. And so I'm in the midst of hiring somebody right now, as a matter of fact, that is coming all the way from California to come join us here in Wisconsin. So it's going to be a little bit of a weather change for them. But, I mean, those are the lengths that I'm going right now. We were trying to develop the talent, but we also need to bring in high-level talent from whatever areas we can to complement the growth that we're seeing.
Yeah, Mike, that can be a real challenge too, and you are on the forefront, so you've been working at this for, you know, well over 5 years already, because you know it takes a long time to develop talent. So when you start in the middle school or even earlier, you know, you're willing to commit, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years to help a student really be successful in their schooling and then give them experiences so they can see where jobs are. And so that's a sustaining commitment that employers must have to make.
And Brian, to that point, you know, that's the nice thing about being a privately held business, that we're able to take a much longer view of this training initiative, because I think, you know, corporate America is so focused on, you know, the profits today, this month, this quarter, this year. Oftentimes they, you know, they are short-sighted when it comes to the long-term investment in their employees and the education that should go along with that.
So, Mike Reeder, how do you greet, for instance, the news of a company as gigantic as Foxconn moving into southeastern Wisconsin? I mean, how likely is it that their arrival on the scene is going to make this decision, this situation you were just describing, maybe even worse? Or are there ways in which the emergence of Foxconn can actually be a positive for you and for the region as a whole in this respect?
Well, Greg, my first response is, as an employer, I'm terrified of what this is going to do to the already small labor pool. But as a member of the Wisconsin community and an American, I am just delighted to see the investment in high-tech manufacturing in America, more importantly, southeast Wisconsin. I think it sheds or puts a spotlight on the great things that are going on in southeast Wisconsin. And certainly, I think the reason that they selected the site here was the proximity to Gateway Technical College and all that Brian and his team are doing. And so I look at this as not so much as a threat, but as an opportunity to work together with the various businesses and education groups in the area to solve this problem. And it's going to be a challenge. 13,000 people is a big number. And so together I know we can overcome it, though.
President Albrecht, what have you seen in terms of other companies that are trying to address this matter of skilled worker shortage?
I think Mike's absolutely right. I mean, employers that have been here for a long time, we call them our legacy companies, they have been challenged to find the right volume of talent, if you will, and the right skill set to go along with it. And that's why we adapt our programs, and we have a lot of great partnerships, 160 corporate training agreements we currently operate at Gateway Technical College. And I talk with employers daily on these types of issues. And one of the things I try to remind them is, you know, it's almost like you have to kind of find out where the talent is. And I like to use the term get in front of the line by involved in advisory committees, curriculum development, help us find experiments and experiences for our students to serve in internships and actually be a part of that process while they're in school, so that's not like I graduate, now I have to go out and look for a job. You should be looking for a job while you're going through school. So many of our companies have partnered with us on developing certification pathways so they can earn credentials from industry while they're in high school. We have a group right now that's doing a video series for elementary schools and just showcasing what the jobs are of their employer. And many of our employers have really, really stepped up their efforts to engage students either at Gateway or at the high schools through youth apprenticeship or co-op type programs or some sort of work-based learning experience. And all of those things collectively together are creating a greater awareness of the value of technical careers. And Mike said it. I mean, you're talking about jobs in the $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 range after a couple of years of post-secondary education and a few years of experience. Those are family-sustaining wages that people can earn as early as age 25. So our community has opportunity, and now we just need to help share that so that parents and teachers and counselors are aware of how they get access to those opportunities.
Very good. Mike Reeder, I understand that you are very involved in an organization called PMPA, the Precision Machined Products Association. Explain what this organization is about and what kind of a difference that they have made for you and your company, and maybe in particular when it comes to this matter of finding skilled workers.
Sure, Greg. The PMPA is an association made up of small to medium-sized businesses similar to Precision Plus across, you know, North America, including, you know, up into Canada. We've got membership. We've got about 425 members, most of them active members, as in job shops like ourselves, as well as some of the folks that provide tooling and machinery to support us in our efforts. And so I'm on the board of directors there. I'm first vice president currently, will be president in October. I've traveled the U.S. on behalf of the association already and will continue to do so for the next year and a half. But our membership, their single greatest threat has been identified as where does the next generation of manufacturing professional come from? And so to respond to that, the association has helped develop, you know, curriculum for some online training to help get folks up to speed in terms of different machining techniques, quality inspection systems, safety protocols. And the idea is this is a starting point with the online curriculum that we want to partner with different technical schools to help provide the hands-on and ongoing portion of the training well beyond the online. And so that is also going to require the partnerships of other businesses in the community to make sure that if not here, where else can we provide, you know, training opportunities. So, again, that is the single greatest threat as our members have identified, and this is, you know, from all corners of the U.S. Everyone is saying the same thing.
And, Mike, I think it helps to, again, answer the question about skilled worker shortage, because organizations, not just single employers, but organizations and employers that are engaged in those associations can help leverage that message on a grander scale. So now you're talking about a national message coming from PMPA about the importance of technical skills and building out an education foundation to support scholarships and new programming at different regions of the country. And those types of things also help to address the needs locally. So I know our college at Gateway is taking advantage of PMPA, and our faculty have gone through some of the training. And so all those different elements coming together in your investment in service, in whether it's PMPA or the SME, the Society for Manufacturing Engineers, or MSOE, all of that continues to develop a ripple effect for the success for us here in Southeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, one of the other things that we had done, Greg, was would have been 2 years ago, with our PMPA Education Foundation, they sponsored a video to help promote manufacturing careers and the awareness of manufacturing careers for the students, the educators, as well as the parents. And so the website's been out there a little over a year and a half now. Its website is changeyourgame.careers. Again, changeyourgame.careers. And I'm happy to say Some of that footage was shot right there at the Elkhorn campus of Gateway Technical College. And so with support of Brian, not only were we able to shoot here in our facility, but right down the street at Gateway Technical College.
Yeah, and it's a very cool video. If you love baseball, you're going to love this story. It's a great one.
Very good. For those of you just joining us, today's morning show marks the monthly visit of Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. And joining us today via the telephone is Mike Reeder, who has been a guest on the morning show before. He's the CEO of Precision Plus, and more to the point today, he is also the person who has been chosen to offer the commencement address for the next big major spring graduation exercises for Gateway Technical College. So quite an honor. Mike Reeder, what was it like to be offered this opportunity?
Well, I got to tell you, it was very humbling, exciting, but you know, to be considered for such a worthy celebration, it gave me a lot of reason to step back and reflect on how fortunate I've been throughout my career, and to have, you know, wonderful people that have mentored me at different points in time. And so I hope to be able to convey some of my learning experiences over the years to some of these students that are beginning their journey.
I'm so proud that Mike's going to be our speaker. I think about the individuals that you want your students and your graduates now to, you know, to emulate, to role model, and to think about what we've just discussed in the last half hour or so, the idea of giving back, the idea of becoming involved, the idea of stepping up, the idea of being an inspiring person in your community. And so that's the message we want to leave our students as they leave Gateway and enter their next phase of life into the workforce. And so we're super proud to have Mike be our commencement speaker.
So Mike Reeder, what kind of advice are you thinking you will probably be offering to the newest graduates of Gateway Technical College? I imagine you've already given that a fair amount of thought.
I have, but I certainly don't want to give it all away. But, you know, to be brief on this, you know, it really comes down to follow your heart. You know, what is it you're passionate about, and what are the careers available out there that align with those passions? And with that, before you embark on your educational journey, you best, you know, seek out some job shadowing experiences or do a little bit more research on exactly what the day-to-day life looks like in that particular career path, because you don't want to, you know, go to school to become an accountant only to step into an accounting role later on after graduation and discover that, hey, this isn't quite what I thought it would be. And so that's why these partnerships are very important, that, you know, explore beforehand, do internships and apprenticeship programs during that education, that if you discover that it's not quite for you, you've got an opportunity to adjust your education track. And so those are the basic principles of what I'm going to talk about, you know, and really follow your heart.
I think that's a great bit of advice. You know, sometimes people get caught in jobs and careers for different reasons, and many people, you know, you take the first job that comes along because you need the income to go along with it, and I can certainly appreciate that. But to really take advantage of people's own personal interests, their strengths, their abilities, and their passion to continue to grow as an individual, we've got to find that level of career aspiration. And Gateway's a career aspiration college, because we do allow people to try different things, and you know, it's here in our home community, and people can come back at different stages. So follow your heart, Mike. I think it's going to be the perfect message for our students.
Mike Reeder, I know that one issue with which you've contended and talked about and worked on is the matter of college affordability. And this is something that is so important to remember and to not take for granted. Student debt, the cost of college can be really overwhelming, overpowering. It can really make this a dream that's out of the reach of some people, or make the gauntlet itself, which is already challenging, even more so when these kind of challenges have to be confronted as well. Tell us about the work that you have done on the Gateway Foundation Board to help address this really important issue.
Sure, and that is such an important issue, affordability. I remember when I was making my choices following high school on what I wanted to do and where to go to school to continue my education, and education was a hell of a lot less. A lot less expensive back then. I look at some of these children now. I've got my wife and I have three kids, and have gone on different education tracks, but it's darn expensive, and I don't know how some of these students do it, the debt that they take on, and when do they finally dig out of all this debt? So the Gateway Foundation has been focused on the promise and trying to get this rolled out, the business partnerships to help support it, and to really make a difference in the lives of some of these students that don't have the economic means that others do. To continue this education. And so it's been a wonderful team of people on the foundation that I've had the opportunity to work with. I'm honored to serve with them, and it's fun to see the difference that Gateway and the foundation have made in the lives of so many students.
Yeah, I just want to echo what Mike is saying there again as well, because the idea of the foundation, it's 40 years old. The college is 107 years old, so we didn't always have a foundation. We didn't always have opportunity for scholarships, and so over the last few decades, we've really concentrated on this idea of affordability and how do we help people make that initial step, if you will, into post-secondary education. And certainly the times have changed. We've discussed it through the entire program. 12 years of education is probably not enough anymore to sustain a career in our community. So ongoing lifelong learning and scholarships can help provide support for that, including the Promise Program. And I'll just remind all of our listeners, and including our students, that every student at Gateway is required to go through a financial literacy program. Hmm. So we teach and try to educate our students on the difference between a grant and a scholarship and a loan. So what portions of their funding they know they need to pay back, and how do you balance that, and making sure that you're making wise decisions on your educational pathway around affordability. And that's a key aspect of helping us keep the cost down for students, and then leveraging additional resources in the community, whether it's a student work study program working on campus, or an internship working for an employer, and then how do you work with your employer to take advantage of tuition reimbursement from the employer side. So there are many different ways in which we can help students on an individual basis figure out the best financial model for their post-secondary education. And so, you know, the foundation is a key asset to that, and all of programs like Mike shared earlier, supporting students through internships and different ways to help them help themselves, basically.
To finish out, Mike Reeder, I wonder if you have two or three pearls of wisdom to share with anyone who might be listening who is thinking about investing in a college degree, and it might be a relatively young person, maybe somebody more in the middle of life, maybe even somebody who is a bit older than that, but has not yet taken advantage of this possibility for themselves. What would you have them think about in terms of what kind of a difference it can make in their lives?
Sure, Greg. That would, if I could share two or three with you, it'd be really, again, follow your heart, find your passion, research the careers that align with those interests, followed with, you know, seeking out the opportunities where you can explore what those careers look like on a day-to-day basis. You know, and that could be just a job shadowing experience with a local business. And last of all, research what the career pathways look like. You know, how do you find the skills, acquire the skills to be successful in that industry, compared with the costs of acquiring those skills, to really and then looking at the expected revenue. So really, we're trying to do an ROI analysis, and you know, that's why I'm real excited about the legislation on the academic career planning that really forces some financial thought into the school systems on what students want to do going forward. And you know, again, it's what is the cost to acquire the skills versus the benefits you will derive from that career path, coming out with an ROI calculation. So it's important to be passionate about something, but you know, some things, you know, probably left best as hobbies, and then you focus on, you know, what is it that's going to put food on the table and a roof over the head for your family. So really exploring What are the career paths? What is it going to cost? What are the benefits you can get from it?
I think it's good advice, Mike, and it's interesting because I'm sure as you've learned more about Gateway and the differences between public universities, private universities, two-year colleges, profit, nonprofit, all the different types of higher education that are out there, that idea of what's the value added and the ROI that goes along with it is really a critical question that we're asking our students to think about, because now they can broker a lot of those, take some courses at one college and transfer them over to another college and find the best time of the day when those courses are offered and really build their own academic plan, if you will, and really find ways to leverage, if you will, all the resources of the community through higher education.
And it does, you know, speak to the need for the financial literacy program that you talked about just a moment ago. It's very important that people understand, you know, basic financial management, because not always do we see that out in the community.
Well, I know a lot of people are very, very excited, Mike Reeder, that you're going to be part of these upcoming graduation exercises at Gateway. And we appreciate you making time in your very busy schedule to join us on the morning show today to offer your thoughts on so many important matters. And we certainly wish you well, you and your fine company, in the years ahead.
Well, thank you, Greg, and thank you for having me again, Brian. I look forward to the commencement ceremony.
Very good. Thank you.
Mike Reeder, CEO of Precision Plus, and Brian Albrecht, the president of Gateway Technical College. Thank you for being here.
You're welcome, Greg.
I'm Gregory Berg. And at 8:51, we're going to finish out the hour by thinking about a book that explores some of the things that we confront, issues we confront as we reach a moment like graduation, those moments when life is about to enter a new chapter. The book at hand is called Traveling with Pomegranates, A Mother and Daughter Journey to the Sacred Places of Greece, Turkey, and France, published by Penguin Books. In this book, best-selling author Ann Kidd Taylor and Sue Monk Kidd look back together at a journey that they made to Europe when the mother was at the age of 50 and the daughter was just graduating from college and fearful for what lay ahead. It's a very, very beautiful book in just about every respect. Here's an excerpt from our interview. One of the things which is especially distinctive about this wonderful book is that a lot of it springs from the journals you kept from these travels, these trips you took together. Just say a word about what it was like to pull these words written years before, probably written without any specific intention of it ever being a book, and turning it into a book. Was that a tricky process?
Well, when we were traveling together, we definitely took our journals. I think this is an instinct of a writer, probably, but of anyone who's traveling, who wants to capture, you know, what's going on around you, because it is such a unique experience. But we were very meticulous journal keepers, I have to say, without realizing that we would one day write a book about these travels. So I'm really grateful that we were able to write down so many experiences as we went. And Anne, if I missed something, I would call Anne up and say, "Do you remember this day? What did you write in your journal? What was the weather? And what was I wearing?" So we had sort of these double memory banks, but also double journals to draw on as we were writing the book. And we relied heavily on our journals to write Traveling with Pomegranates.
This story is really, in so many ways, about you trying to live through days of heartache. I mean, not that you were the victims of any kind of tragedy, but both really overtaken by all kinds of feelings of sadness and bewilderment. Did you end up kind of reliving some of that pain as you looked through these journals and wrote this book, or was the experience of writing this book more positive than that?
Well, you remind me of something we actually quote in the book, which is this great line by Anais Nin, who says, we write to taste life twice, once in the moment and once in retrospection. So undoubtedly, you know, when you're writing memoir in a very intense way, and when the experiences you're writing about are very soulful and do have struggle and turbulence in them, then certainly you are reliving it a lot. And I think it was an emotional experience for Ann and I to relive and rewrite this book, these moments together. Hmm.
Ann, you're on the line with us as well, right?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. I want to one of the really interesting moments is you are working through the sadness you feel over being rejected for graduate school is that when you are finally sharing that news with your mother, you have kept this reason for your sadness and depression away from her until finally you do talk about it. And you talk about how when you say the word rejection, that something almost clicks in terms of you understanding what you were feeling in a whole different way. I thought that was really striking. I suppose it makes sense for a great writer to understand words and be moved so powerfully by just choosing a word to describe how you feel.
Yes, and that day on the ship when I finally did talk to my mom, it was, I kept all of that in for so long. I barely wanted to admit any of what I was feeling to myself, let alone my mother. And it seems so many things came together to create this resistance in me to exploring it or talking to my mom. But the graduate school rejection was, that was devastating. And I didn't see it coming. I certainly, my plan going out of college was I was going to go to graduate school and study ancient Greek history. And I saw my life living or working in Greece part of the time. And I had everything mapped out. And the rejection letter that came in the mail, eventually that turned into a kind of self-rejection. So that day on the ship, when I'm finally able to say all of this to my mother, it's a relief. It was quite a relief, but I was scared. I was scared because once you say this out loud, it seems to take on a life of its own and that you're accountable now, and you need to deal with it. And somebody else knows and you can't go back.
Right. Just the choice of the word sometimes makes all the difference in terms of how honest you're going to be. And Sue, you talk about in this book not only trying to come to grips with turning 50 and your own sort of mounting sense of mortality, but also trying to figure out, once you know what Anne is going through, how best and how much to mother her versus how much to allow her as a young woman, as a young adult, to mother herself. I imagine that's something that even to this day you still grapple with.
Well, yes. I think this is a question mothers will carry their whole lives because we're just sort of wired to protect and, these children of ours who now are young adults and then older adults. But so it's very hard. But part of my tension throughout this was trying to let go and allow her to be a person in her own right, to make her choices, and to deal with her consequences. Now, that doesn't mean that I was absent from the process. I think that the struggle becomes how to become part of her life without smothering her or insisting it needs to be a certain way. And this is a very delicate place because as a mother of a young woman who's left college and is finding her place in the world as a young woman in her own right, you really have to be respectful of that and struggle with just how much you can be interfere into that process. So that was part of my dilemma as we were traveling.
Hmm. And, of course, this book is an account of the wonderful places you went in Greece and France and Turkey and all which you experienced, each your own as individuals, and, of course, the journey you had together as mother and daughter, traveling with pomegranates, a mother and daughter's journey to the sacred places of Greece, Turkey, and France, now a paperback from Penguin, and a book that is so worth reading. Sue Monk-Kidd and Kidd Taylor, I thank you for writing this wonderful book and for joining us today to chat about it a few minutes.
It was our pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
Support for WGTD's morning show comes from the generosity of the family and friends of the late Frank and Beverly Falduto, two lifelong Kenosians who devoted much of their lives to the community in general and to WGTD in particular. Mr. Falduto played an essential role in creating WGTD nearly 40 years ago and later served as station manager and occasional morning show co-host. Support also comes from UW Parkside.